presentation of The Coaches Show. And here's your host, Dave Archer and Wes Durham.
And good afternoon on a Monday from Flowery Branch. The Falcons beat the Bucs yesterday 31-23. In our first half hour, of course, is with the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Mike Smith. And then wide receiver Drew Davis, one of those next guys up, if you will, in the in this 2013 season, will join us at the bottom of the hour. Smitty, congratulations to you and your team. A big win, a good win, particularly coming off the bye. And at the same time, I just saw in that locker room yesterday a little bit more steam in their stride, a little bit more confidence because of the produced result, as well as the opportunity that some of these young guys got to make big plays in your game.
Yeah, it was really good to get a win. We needed that very badly. And, you know, our guys have battled all season long and not gotten the outcome that we wanted four times. But they showed a lot of resolve in the football game yesterday. There were some opportunities maybe to let the momentum switch and go in a different direction, but they stayed strong. And whether it was a young guy, an old guy, as I told him, if you were wearing a black helmet with the Falcon logo, we're expecting you to step up this week. And I thought they did a very nice job. Preparation was good, and there was some flawless execution at times, and there was some execution that we definitely have to improve on.
Yeah, there was some opportunities that I know when you look on the tape, it's easier to swallow when you win a game when you don't get a sack. And I know you talked a little bit about it in your press conference. I want to go to one player, and we're going to talk about a number of players today because it was a really team effort for your team yesterday, Smitty. But it looked like William Moore, there was a little bit more of a pep in his step. I don't know if there was something just a veteran takes on as he wants to set the tone. I thought physically he set the tone for everybody else to play for.
Well, William set the tone with our first third down and got that strip fumble play on on the pressure on the first third down that led to 7 points. And William has played well for us for the entire season. But I thought yesterday he stepped up and really made some game-changing plays. Had a really nice hit down on the goal line on Doug Martin. And it was, to me, it was a really good football play, the way it's supposed to be played. Not leading with your head, going in there and attacking the ball and attacking the player. And I thought it was a textbook play in terms of the way that you want to see it done.
Smitty, you made a decision, or you and your staff made a decision for Mike to be on the sideline, Mike Nolan to be on the sideline. I know you, from being a former defensive coordinator, I've talked to defensive coordinators before. A lot of times you guys like the look in the eyes of your players. Was that part of what made the decision to get Mike down on the sideline?
Well, there was a number of factors that, go into any decision that you make. And during the bye week, it was something that the week before the bye, we had discussions about it. But we felt like that we have a lot of young guys that are playing. It's not necessarily easy to communicate from up in the box when you want to specifically talk to a guy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to do it through a third party, or you have to do it over the phone. And, hey, I've been up in the box as a defensive coordinator calling a game, and I've done it from the sideline as well. And sometimes, especially when you've got some young players, you want to be able to connect with them and look them in the eye and hopefully get some response back, and not look like you're looking at them and seeing the back of their head, which has happened a time or two to me.
Tell me, in the discussions that take place, and if you can share a little bit of it, the logistics of a move like that, because people just automatically read Mike Nolan went to the sidelines. Mm-hmm. But there are logistics involved in that, because now your line of communication with your staff changes entirely with that one move, correct?
Oh, it changes, but it really takes some adjusting for everybody. Mm-hmm. But I thought it went very smoothly.
Yeah.
It's a different tempo on the sideline than it is in a press box. So I thought that everybody handled their new role, and like we always tell everybody, roles are always changing in the NFL. It's not just players, it's coaches, it's all of us. Every week brings a new dynamic, and every play has a cause and effect on the next play.
Well, and of course, you talked about it going into the bye. Everything was going to be evaluated. And I think you even mentioned top to bottom, which I thought was an interesting use of the words because Mike went from the top to the bottom, essentially the press box to the field. You also had an opportunity. You made a roster move to get Darius Johnson on your active. And Dave and I talked about this in the preseason. I thought that was going to be a tough decision at the end of the preseason because the young man had performed well for you. Smitty, he showed up yesterday. A very nice start to his professional career.
Very nice. He had a big catch on a second and long that produced the first down for us. Mm-hmm. That was nice to see him get his first catch. But there were other things that he did in the ball game subtly that don't necessarily show up on the stat sheet. Darius has worked hard. He's earned the right and to have an opportunity to play. And when he got his opportunity, he did some nice things yesterday. As you said, in the preseason, he did a very nice job, especially in the preseason game up there against the Titans. Thought he had his best game. And it was a difficult decision in terms of when you start to put your fourth and fifth receivers together. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the discussions get weighed a little bit differently at number four and number five based on special teams. You know, Darius is not big in stature, but he certainly is very quick and he's a very, very good receiver. I think he has less more limited roles on special teams simply because of the size factor.
Smitty, I want to take you back to the other side of the football, and you made a decision to use Desmond Trufant as your nickel guy when you went five defensive backs. He's your starting corner, but then slides inside in that nickel back situation. You talked about in your press conference how difficult that is to make that change. No extra defender in the sideline. All of a sudden, he's got a full way go yep. with the guy he's playing against. Was it more about the timing was now right for him to be able to slide in? Is this something you had planned to probably do all along, or was this something that you just wanted to get to just to switch things up?
Well, it's funny, guys. Not funny, it's kind of how you go and look at a season. And you have an idea of what the guys are capable of doing and what their skill set is, but you want to bring the rookies along at the speed that is best suited for them and what's best for your football team. And we really felt that we needed to get Desmond as many snaps as we possibly can. And we started him out as the corner only. We'd been using him in practice all through training camp as the nickel corner, and we felt when we had the time in the bye week to actually get him 100% of his reps at that nickel corner, that it was going to give us the best opportunity to get our best 11 out on the field in sub packages. And I thought he did a nice job. And as you know, when you're playing the nickel, you don't have the sideline next mm-hmm. to you as that extra defender. The guy you're lining up has got two-way goes on every snap. And so it's a little bit of change, and we really wanted to make sure that Desmond had the opportunity because of the conditioning. The conditioning is a lot different when you're playing the nickel, the start-stop, and having to run in both directions. So that was one of the reasons that we wanted to really look at it during the bye week.
The other thing, too, is he didn't draw the bottom card either. I mean, he starts off with Vincent Jackson. Dave pointed out during the broadcast, you're now dealing with a 6'5", 230-odd-pound guy who can really run and make plays. So he was tested not only in his regular job with the base package, but also when he went to nickel yesterday.
Yes, he did. And, of course, when they were in their base, their 21 or 12 personnel, Vincent Jackson, we pretty much knew where he was going to line up. He was going to be the X receiver probably 80% of the time. When they went to their three wide set, though, they were going to try to put him in a position that he was probably going to be the most likely to be targeted, and he was targeted 22 out of the 44 pass attempts in the ball game yesterday. So they definitely had a plan of wanting to get the ball to Vincent Jackson, and there were times that all three of our cover corners had to draw him.
He's a heck of a weapon, and I thought obviously Desmond held his own and won a lot of battles against one of the best receivers in the league. Smitty, has there been a moment, and I know this kind of is an interesting question, in the fact that when you look out there, has there been a moment for you to look out there and said, wow, I've got six rookies on the field at the same time on defense? Two edge rushers. Just you could have Mapunga and Malachi Goodman on the field at the same time. Two rookie linebackers in your nickel and two rookie corners. Have you ever been in a situation like that as a D coordinator?
No, we had one very similar. In fact, Mike and I experienced it together in Baltimore, in which we had to make a change from a 4-3 to a 3-4 defense because of, we had to let a bunch of guys go. And we looked up in February, and we had two defensive linemen on our roster at that point in time. That pretty much made the decision pretty easy that we had to go with a 3-4 defense. And we ended up starting a whole bunch of rookies that season. So you've got to get those guys ready to go, and we've got some experience underneath our belt with these guys. And it's going to pay dividends in the second half of the season. They're still young players. They're going to make mistakes. But the one thing that I will say about all these guys is they're eager to learn, and they're eager to go out and please and try to execute what we're trying to get done scheme-wise.
Smitty, do you coach it differently with all that youth?
Oh, absolutely.
How much differently? I mean, is it like going back to basics in some ways?
In some ways, in terms of, there's certain things that veterans know based on, everybody kind of knows, okay, this is a 3-deep, this is a 2-deep, but the intricacies of, okay, this is a 2-deep and the split is here, this is normally what I've got to defend, or how is this guy going to attack a 2-deep defense compared to a 3-deep defense, or in this defense, I have to set the edge. I'm the edge setter, and our young guys are going through that. We had a couple of runs that we gave up yesterday in the ball game simply because we did not really understand who the edge setter was on the defense on a couple of run plays.
All right, we're going to take our first break. We'll come back. We're going to talk to Coach Smith about the Arizona Cardinals. Not necessarily the Cardinals themselves. Early preparation continues on that. But going west, Atlanta's been terribly successful doing that, Arch, as we've documented several times before. And also, Coach Smith breaks down the schedule. And I know this because a couple of years ago, what was it, 5 or 4 teams that were coming off byes that you played, right?
Yep.
Well, now Atlanta's going to play 2 teams in a row that have 2 extra days to get ready. We'll talk with Coach Mike Smith about that. Don't forget, the Mike Smith Show on a Monday brought to you by Pizza Hut. $10 deal is back for tonight's Vikings-Giants game at MetLife Stadium. And get any pizza, any toppings, just $10. Carry out only at your locally owned and operated Pizza Hut. Back with Dave Archer and Flowery Branch after this on 7-9 of the Zone.
Glennon, bumble the football, picked up, Thomas Day 2 to the house. Touchdown Atlanta, 30 yards. William Moore knocked it loose, and the celebration's on for Deku.
Never be without football. Get coverage of every NFL game from your smartphone on NFL Mobile. Call Star NFL to get NFL Mobile now from Verizon only.
And, of course, our Ackerman Security Defensive Play of the Game, brought to you by Ackerman Security. Protect your home and family for just $18.95 a month. Monitoring fee, no cost to switch. Online now at AckermanSecurity.com. The Falcons are headed west of the desert Sunday afternoon at 4:25 Eastern with the Arizona Cardinals. We've touched on this before, and Dave and I have discussed it. Smitty, you got a good system in place. You got an understanding of the process. Know how you want your week to go, and it's borne success for you when you go out west to play.
Yeah, we do it a little bit differently than a number of teams. We're going to continue the same routine where we're going to head out on Friday, get the guys in. It'll be late body time for their bodies, and we'll get them in bed as soon as we arrive in Arizona on Friday night, and then try to keep them on Eastern Standard Time through Saturday and Sunday, and it ends up working very well for us. I think it's something that I learned from Brian Billick in terms of taking your team out to the West Coast, and it's worked very well for us. And we've played well. We've not been sluggish. We've gotten fast starts and usually get the outcome that we want.
So, man, I want to go back and revisit a couple things in the game. We talked a lot about the defense in that first segment. I want to talk a little bit about your offense and the fact a group that has been obviously over-scrutinized probably in your mind and probably in a lot of people's minds, that offensive line, has suffered a lot of injuries, movement of people in the off season, and continuity has been a tough thing they've tried to gather and really put their arms around. Played extremely well yesterday in the pass game. Ryan, extremely clean in the game yesterday for you.
Yeah, I thought it was our best game to this point in terms of protecting the passer. I thought these guys up front have shown a lot of resiliency with having to move different guys in and out, and they're playing much better in terms of protecting the passer. Matt was not sacked in the ball game yesterday and was minimally contacted, what we call hits. I thought that they did a very nice job. And it's not just the offensive line when we get sacks. We always tell you guys it's running backs and receivers. And when we keep our quarterback clean, it's the, you know, it's the receiver doing a nice job with his route running, and it's also the running backs. Either they're running their routes or they're part of the protection scheme as well. But they did a very nice job. The one thing that we've got to be better at is we've got to run the ball more efficiently than we did yesterday. We had a hard time. We knew there were going to be some minus yardage plays in the ball game with the stunting and the movement style that they have, and we had some issues at the point of attack and couldn't get some things going. And it's just a little thing here and a little thing there. I know that the numbers aren't real pretty in terms of running the football, but I think we're really close in terms of what we want to get done. So there's been a lot of improvement in our offensive line from game one to game six.
And speaking and talking about close, and you mentioned it in your press conference, got to wait till how the doctors play this out. But obviously Quiz and Snells have done an excellent job of running the football and catching the football for you. It looks like you potentially will have Steven Jackson available maybe on Wednesday to do a little bit more practicing and potentially be available for you this weekend. I know you're excited about that.
Real excited about getting some of these injured guys back. This is a big day for us, the day after a game, in a lot of ways. We get a lot of information the day after the game on guys that got nicked on the previous day, and then some of the guys that didn't play in the game that were out because of injuries that have been working extremely hard. I've got to really tell you, Steven, Chase, Roddy, Sam Baker, these guys have been working diligently to get back. Their sole focus is on getting back to help us win football games, and we are anticipating that we're going to get some good news on some of these guys, and hopefully we can get them back out on the practice field on Wednesday where they can start being re-indoctrinated into us in terms of getting them involved in the game plan for the game on Sunday.
Well, a guy like Jackson, you're dealing with a 10-year veteran who understands what this process is like, and certainly a degree of familiarity from having played those years in St. Louis with what he'll see if he's able to go on Sunday against the Cardinals.
Yes, and getting Steven back would be big for us, not only in the run game but in the pass game. And, yes, Steven would be a great resource for our guys because he has played the Cardinals two times a year, being in the, in the Western Division with the Rams for his entire career.
Let me touch you on the schedule situation. We mentioned it going to break a moment ago. A couple of years, I think, what was it, four teams you had that were coming off bye in your schedule?
Yes.
All right, now you run in. Your next two opponents play the Thursday night game. Arizona obviously played Seattle last week. Carolina plays Tampa this Thursday night. I know it's just one of those things, but still, it is a little ironic, isn't it?
Well, it is. We've had some interesting sequencing of games. Previous 2 weeks, I think I mentioned it to you, maybe I didn't. I've never been involved where you played on a Monday night and had a bye week after your Monday night game. Basically, you got shorted a day off. You got shorted a day on your bye week. And now we're going to face two teams in a row. And the one we're focused on, of course, is the Cardinals, coming off what we would consider a mini bye from Thursday to Sunday. I know it's pretty much standard operating procedure that the players are going to take some time off to recover. They need to after that short week of Sunday to Thursday. So I know the coaches haven't been taking time off. They've been studying, instead of doing a four-game breakdown, they're probably going to do it our entire season and look at some of the stuff that we've done in the past. So it'll be a challenge. They're going to be fresh. We need to get our guys fresh. We will because of the number of snaps that our defense played in the ball game. We only ran 44 snaps on offense, and we were in the high 70s officially, but on our grade sheet, some of our players that played every snap played 83 snaps in the ball game. So they're going to be sore when they come back and get on the field on Wednesday.
So maybe this is a Cardinal team that you're going to take on Sunday, that there's some familiarity with some of the for the personnel, and obviously there's some big names there, but there's also a lot of dramatic difference.
Yeah.
Bruce Arians comes over as the head football coach. You've got a new quarterback in Carson Palmer that I know you have a ton of respect for. How much different do they look like than the Cardinal team that played really well against you defensively here in the Dome? In fact, your defense had a great outing, if I remember correctly, in what was a defensive battle you ended up winning here in Atlanta last year.
Well, Ken Wisenhunt, who was the head coach last year, and Bruce, they both have been through Pittsburgh, and there's probably some similarities offensively and defensively in what they're doing. And they're very talented. Bruce has got some philosophies that he believes in strongly in terms of running the football. I've been impressed with their young running back out of Clemson, Andre Ellington.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Yeah, he's emerging as a as a weapon, not only in the run game but in the pass game as well. And then Larry Fitzgerald, who I think has missed some time, and Michael Floyd, they're creating quite a 1-2 punch. I think they both have 32 receptions, so there's 64 receptions between the two of them. So they're they're very good. Very good players, and then defensively, they're loaded up front. They've got one of the strongest fronts. Darnell Dockett's been a Pro Bowl player for a number of years. Calais Campbell is a big, long guy that not only creates pressure, but he does a great job, and he may be leading the league and knocking the ball down. He's a big, big, tall player. Mm-hmm. Their linebacking crew is very strong. Darrell Washington is back. Carlos Dansby is a very good player, and they're playing John Abraham as one of their outside linebackers, who we know can be a game wrecker and a game changer when it comes to putting pressure on the quarterback. And then Patrick Peterson can take out your number one receiver. We anticipate that we may see some match coverage this week. I think Harry was not our number one receiver the way that he played this past week, that there could be the potential that he would maybe draw Patrick Peterson in the game on Sunday.
All right, good enough. Smitty, as always, thanks for the time. Good luck in your preparation.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, that's Falcon Tech Coach Mike Smith with us. Stay tuned. More of the Mike Smith Show. Drew Davis is our player guest. We'll get to it right after this on 7-9 The Zone.
To dump it in. Here's Quiz at the 5. Touchdown. Oh, my goodness. Where is your jockstrap? Mark Barron, we'll mention him again, Wes. You mentioned him a minute ago. We'll mention him right here. It's a yard sale, and a lot of it is his uniform because Quiz Rogers just shook him to the ground.
Oh, Rogers scores standing. It's his second touchdown catch of the day, and Atlanta's lead is 13 with almost a minute gone in the fourth.
Introducing Verizon Edge, a new plan that lets you get a Verizon 4G LTE phone when you want it. No down payment, no upgrade fees, no long-term service contract, only from Verizon.
Drew Davis is here, wanting to know about Arch's yard sale. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Ford's Defend the Dome question of the week, Dave. Brian Lewis in Kennesaw, do you expect the Falcons to make any acquisitions before the trade deadline to fill in for some of the injuries?
No. No, I just don't think that they're going to do that. I think that they really feel comfortable with the 53 that they put on the roster. Obviously, the addition of Jeremy Trueblood was one that was due because of injury.
Right.
I don't think there's anything out there from an acquisition standpoint that's going to change the dynamic of this team. And I think you saw a lot about what this team's about yesterday when we got guys like the guy sitting next to us we're going to get a chance to talk to.
Yeah.
This is a quality football team from 1 to 53. When you add guys to the roster to let them play full-time, like a Drew Davis, you're going to get the results you got yesterday.
I don't have it measured up for the date, Drew, but about a year ago was when you caught the touchdown pass in Philadelphia, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, this 24-yard thing in front of the bench now, take us through this one-arm, one-hand grab because it was spectacular.
I really can't explain it. When I go back and look at it, I just watched it last night a little bit on TV.
They're showing it on TV now.
And then the defender was kind of close to me, kind of waving his arms. I don't know. I just couldn't get my left arm over, I guess, and just reached my right arm out and was able to grab onto it. And after that, just a little bit of celebration.
Well, I think the reason you couldn't get your left arm over is because he had taken possession of your left arm, and all you had was your right arm to reach out. Drew Davis with us here on the player portion of the Mike Smith Show. You made a number of circus catches in the preseason for – for Dominic. And this was just an extension of that. What was it like now to get in, Drew? I know you're a guy that plays a lot more than some of the other guys do, but a lot more play time yesterday. I know the ball will come your direction eventually. You only got one yesterday, but talk about being in there and helping contribute to a win.
You know, anytime you can get in, whether it be on special teams, or offense, defense, whatever position you play, it's a great thing. You know, it's kind of a little bit weird. You know, I started off, you know, get on special teams, kickoff, kick return, and knowing that that's usually my first play of the game, and it wasn't yesterday. It was a little bit strange. But just knowing that you're going out there with some of the best players, you know, Matt, you got Jaquiz back there running the ball, you got Harry making plays. It's just a real good feeling to just go out there and contribute a little bit more and be a part of offense.
Now, how difficult was that for you, or how different was it for you? How much did Keith relieve you of some of the – because that's a big deal for him, knowing that he's got to take you off special teams. You're one of his core guys. How much did he take you off some of that stuff?
He took me off everything. I wasn't on any special teams yesterday besides the hands team at the end. And I don't know if it was just to concentrate a little bit more on offense, just to relieve me of some of the stuff. But, you know, that's where I come. That's where I've come up, and that's where I've made my living. And you know, even when I have to go back to that, I'm still ready to do that.
You know, people often hear the term next man up or what have you, and it's usually in coach speak, and it's kind of dismissed sometimes, I think, even by the media or even fans to a lesser degree. But that's what the reality of it is. I mean, what's this last 3-4 weeks been like for you in that light? Because it's gone from a handful of reps to a lot of reps now.
Yes.
I mean, and I know it's changed not just in games. It's really changed during the week in terms of your preparation, I would suspect, too, right?
Yes, it has. You know, you go out there, and usually Roddy and Julio are out there taking a lot more plays than everybody or the special shot plays that we have and things like that. And now it's just, you know, having people fill in where they can, where we can, and having people to be in certain spots when we need them. So, you know, like Darius Johnson, he's came up and made a good first down catch yesterday against them. And it's just pretty much that next man up is real. It's a reality. So it's just not something you say and kind of just brush it off a little bit, but it's really true.
So last week was different for you?
Yes.
In like preparation, was it different in films? Was it all the way different?
A little bit different in every aspect. You know, you go out there and practice, and you're taking a lot more plays. You're taking a lot more reps. And then pretty much you – Yeah, I'm usually juggling everything. I'm thinking about special teams. I'm thinking about offense as well. And then now it's not so much special teams because I knew I have a lot more time on offense and not be on special teams so much, but I knew I still have to know my special teams plays. So it was just, like I said, just sitting on the sideline too while my teammates are out there, while Anton Smith is making some plays. It's just still a little bit good for me to see him out there playing, but just couldn't be out there. So it was just one of those things.
All right.
Well, and the part of it that changes, and trying to answer a little bit for Drew, and the fact that you know you're going to play
sure.
on offense, the motions change a little bit. Your focus is going to shift just a tad. Now, your preparation of how you get ready to play didn't change any. Yeah. You're just going to go out and ball out and practice and get ready to play. You just had a few more reps and a few more routes to run. Tell me what you've learned, Drew, in sitting there with Roddy White and now Julio Jones. I mentioned last week that we got a couple of pretty good guys that are going to play, and Harry Douglas and Drew Davis. You just don't see them very often because they have two Pro Bowl receivers sitting in front of them. What have you picked up from those two guys that you're going to try to implement here over the next few weeks to get a chance to play more?
Pretty much just you go out there and you watch them practice, and that says a whole bunch. You know, Roddy and Julio, they go out there and practice, and the plays they make on Sunday, they make over and over again in practice. And so people ask me, you know, how did you make that one-handed catch? Well, watching Julio make it 30 or 40 times, you know, it's kind of got to rub off on me a little bit. But it's just watching those guys practice. Everybody goes out and talks about how they play, but they practice really hard. They practice. They want to get things right. And a wide receiver coach like Coach Trubisky, who harps upon that, who makes us go out there and practice, whether we're hurting a little bit or whether we're a little bit tired, having him push us through that really helps us a lot.
Drew Davis with us in the players portion of the Mike Smith Show here on Sports Radio 790 The Zone with Dave Archer, Wes Durham. We're live at Flowery Branch. Matt Ryan yesterday finishes with his 20 of 26, 273 yards and 3 touchdowns. The 148.4 is his highest single-game passer rating as a pro. A lot of people would suspect if, when we told him that it would be a Roddy White and a Julio Jones and a Tony Gonzalez. Well, Quiz had 8 catches. Harry had 7. You had 1. Darius Johnson had a couple. Tony only had a couple. I mean, you guys collectively helped him on the back end yesterday. How good was he, and how good were you guys?
Matt Ryan's real good at what he does. He puts the ball in the right spot, so we don't have to do too much. Just have to make sure we run our route and we're in the right place. It goes out to everybody, really. The O-line did a great job in protection. I'm pretty sure there was only maybe 1 sack, if I'm correct.
None. Zero.
Zero. See?
Yeah.
Pretty good job.
You know, it's an all-around collective effort. You know, we don't want to put all the emphasis on one person or one guy, but there's a lot of people out there getting things done, and we want to give credit to everybody where it's due.
Drew, when you look – the fan will look out there and say, okay, you beat Tampa. Tampa hadn't won a game. Okay. What? How do you guys qualify it? Is this it's next man up on your next team up on your schedule? Do you guys consider that at all, or you just say, hey, we got a W, which is what I've been saying all day long. Mm-hmm. You get a W, move forward and take on the next team.
I think that's how you have to think about it. We don't, as you look at the records, you don't want to say that a team hasn't won a game. I know that I think four of their games have been by 3 or 4 or less points. So, you know, that says a lot about them. They've been in a lot of games this year, just like we have. We've come down to last possession. But you have to continuously tell yourself with that mindset, we're going to go out here and get another win regardless of who it is, regardless of who you're playing, regardless of who's playing for you. And I think that's the mindset we have, and it helps us get a little bit better each week.
Plus, one of the things I had to remind everybody was the really bad Jet team you guys lost to on the Monday night just beat New England. So you got to qualify. You got to remember that it's hard to win every Sunday. I don't care what's going on. So a win is a win, and you move forward. You got Arizona coming up next.
Drew, what's this experience been like from coming here and, you know, kind of starting your pro career? Because you've done it in segments here, and this is kind of like the latest move in terms of the promotions you've gone through. What's that process been like? It's a whole different dynamic than college, isn't it?
It is. It's an amazing process, actually. I'm one of the real stories that you can really look at and see hard work has paid off. I talk to my college coach a lot. I talk to my high school coach a lot. And, you know, I was on a practice squad for 2 years, cut twice, you know, finally made the roster last year due to an injury, and I haven't looked back since. And it's one of those things that once it happens, it's a great thing. The opportunities that I've been given, I want to take full advantage of. And just the people I've been able to be around, the Julio Jones, the Roddy White, the Harry Douglas, the great people in the locker room that are around me, I really appreciate that and really appreciate the experience. So it's something I want to do for a little while longer.
All right, we're going to spend some time in our next segment with Drew talking about what, growing up in Denver?
Yes.
Then playing at Oregon, now playing in the Southeast, and the proliferation of all these Oregon State guys in the locker room. that we've got to address that because here at the end of November – you know, it's going to get interesting for you. You know that, right?
It will, yes.
Yeah. All right, Arch?
Don't forget, Falcon fans, the Falcons scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter, and that means you can save $150 instantly on four tires and an alignment. You got to get into today now to Kauffman Tire location somewhere in Atlanta, and you can get four tires and an alignment for $150 only from Kauffman Tire.
And don't forget to use DefendTheDome.com each week to ask Mike Smith a question, as Brian did earlier today. If your question's answered during our Defend the Dome question of the week, you'll get a $50 gift card to the NFLShop.com. Stay tuned. More to go with the Mike Smith Show on a Monday at Flowery Branch with Drew Davis in the player segment after this on 790 The Zone.
Matt's going to throw. Drew Davis is there, and he makes a great catch. Oh, my heavens, what a grab by Drew Davis. Leonard Johnson can't believe it. At the Tampa 45, Davis cradled it in his right arm to bring it in.
Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile now and experience catches like Drew Davis right there. Maybe the red zone on your 4G LTE phone, only from Verizon. NFL Mobile, built to bring you the game.
And Drew Davis's catch, our SunTrust Bank shining play of the game, brought to you by SunTrust. How can we help you shine today? Drew, been good enough to spend a segment here with us on the show. Appreciate his time on a Monday afternoon. Confidence-wise, what did yesterday mean to you guys? It's been tough here the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's been a lot. You know, knowing that we've been in games as well up until the end, and knowing yesterday was a close one down to the wire again too. You know, any win is important. You know, anytime you can get a win over an NFL team and go out there and put up 31 points and have a good offensive day and be good in the red zone like we did. And defense came up with a couple turnovers, special teams play well. It's a very good day.
Drew, how good were the two kids they drafted at corner when they got here, and where do you think they are now? You got Desmond, who slid inside and played some nickel. That's really hard to do. But Roberts played a lot more at corner as well, held his own yesterday as well. In fact, drew the ire of Vincent Jackson, actually ended up getting a 15-yard penalty called on him. But where are those two guys? Where were they when they got here? How good were they, and how good are they now?
One of the first things Coach Trubisky said when they got here is they were going to make us better. He said they're young, scrappy guys. They're going to hold you. They're going to press you at the line. They're going to grab you. They're going to pull you. And he said, you know, even though we don't see too many corners that do that stuff because they know about penalties and stuff, these young guys are going to help us get better. And since the day they've came, we've seen that they have a lot of good talent, a lot of talent, you know, raw ability, but once they've learned Coach Nolan's defense and know what they can and can't do, they've been real good for us. You know, Alford had a pick, I think, against New Orleans first game, and True's been coming up with a lot of pass breakups, and he did a pretty good job on Vincent Jackson yesterday. So they've come a long way, and they pretty much helped us get a little bit of young and a little bit of feistiness to us as well.
Interesting, because Trufant's a Pac-12 guy. We were talking going away, you have a proliferation of Pac-12 guys out here now, huh?
Uh-huh.
I mean, you're just the only fighting duck, though, right? You got Oregon State alumni meetings going on in that locker room, don't you?
Yeah, we pretty much do. My locker's right next to Steve, so, you know, I say something about the Ducks every 10 or 15 seconds just to let them know so we're still around. But he doesn't try to bring that up a little bit too much. You know, he tries to kind of duck out of there when he sees me coming.
How much do you pay attention to all that stuff? Do you still pay I remember as a player, kind of kept an eye on what was going on with my team. My team was generally getting their ass handed to them. But your team's been really good. And then you got the uniform on top of that. How much do you pay attention to what they're doing?
I pay attention a lot, mostly because the guys that were freshmen or redshirt freshmen over there, they're now seniors. So it's kind of weird looking at the games and seeing those guys being in the position we were when I was there, you know, taking that leadership role. A guy like Josh Huff, Marcus Mariota I've met a couple times, DeAnthony Thomas I've met a few times. And just seeing those guys do well and carry on that tradition we had when I was there is just a wonderful thing to see.
I think everybody that follows the game and likes what Oregon does from a uniform standpoint has their favorite Oregon Duck uniform that they've broken out. And what are their 25 different combinations or something like that?
At least.
And then they broke out the pink one this weekend, which was solid. Nobody could make that work like Oregon can. What's your favorite Oregon Duck uniform that you've seen them play with? Or maybe it was one you guys wore.
I've always liked, regardless of what area it is, a Stormtrooper all white, white helmet, white jersey, white pants, white cleats.
Stormtrooper.
And we go with the
most
deep
people
green
wear,
O.
Yeah, but most
the
people.
That's cool.
Did you know that most people just wear the white jersey? Oregon, we wear the Stormtrooper white.
That's good.
Really? Is that where y'all go with it?
That's what they call it, so you know, that's what I call it.
Hey, it's got the green O, right? The
yep.
Green, you got the dark
yep.
Green O. That's a good look, man. You're right.
Is that the one you cats wore in the Rose Bowl that time?
I think so, yep.
How did you get from Denver to Oregon?
Oh, man, funny story. My high school receivers coach, who I'm still close with today, I knew I was going to go to a Pac-10 school pretty much. I knew I wanted to go to a passing kind of conference.
And this is before Colorado was in the Pac-12. We got to point that out,
yes,
right?
Yes, it was.
Right.
And, you know, we had trips scheduled to University of Washington, Cal Berkeley, and UCLA, and then Michigan as well. And then, you know, Oregon came along, and my coach said, you know, go, they're Nike, man. That's where their headquarters is. Go check them out. You know, just go look at some Nike stuff, have some fun, have a good weekend off. I'm like, all right, I'll go do that. I went there, fell in love with the small town atmosphere. The game I went to was rainy, probably the worst possible game you can go to. They got whooped by University of Arizona. I think, I forgot who the running back was at the time. I think Travis Henry or something like that. He ran for about 230-something yards. They got blown out of the water, and I loved everything about the trip. So it doesn't usually happen like that. And that same year, I went to the UCLA-USC game, which was called the Rebels last year, UCLA, when they beat USC.
Right.
So, you know, everything about that trip was picture perfect to, you know, they won this big game where you can be like, oh, well, we can go here and we can win. But it just didn't work out like that. And I came down to looking at receiver stats, and Oregon had a receiver named Jason Williams with about 70-something catches for 1,000-something yards. And UCLA had a leading receiver who was a running back with 36 catches. So it became down to where I was comfortable at, and I was very comfortable at Oregon.
That's interesting, the evaluation of what gets you to go. But where does the uniform fall in, though? Because a lot of people think that kids go because of some of the stuff they get to wear. I mean, does that weigh into it at all?
I weighed in a little bit, not as much as people think. You know, you want to, as an 18-year-old kid, you want to, a thing about now is fashion. You know, everybody was wearing the Jordan shoes, and everybody just wants to have the newest stuff, Kanye West and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was just a little bit. But once I came down to, I know what's important to me as far as education, as far as I would love to win a couple games while in college, but I know after my 4 years is done, I want to have a degree that is pretty polished and that I can take that to other places and get a job someday and it'd be looked at as something good. So, for me, uniforms was a plus, definitely, to go there and to be able to play there and look good. But I just knew it came down to a couple of things I want to play and be able to make a difference.
You hear that? Not all the smart guys go to Stanford. They got some smart guys at Oregon, too.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. Your journey from Oregon to here is not conventional. You were not a draft pick. What's that like? And there's the process there, because you know, here comes these free agent offers, and you've got to decide which one gives you the best opportunity, right?
Yes. And which made it interesting about my year as well was a lockout year as well. So, you know, just one day the lockout was over, and then my agent was on the phone, and I had to get somewhere and go on a plane the next day. So we pretty much said the first team that to call was probably the most interested, which was Atlanta. So, and I've been here 3 years now, so we haven't looked back.
Did you have any inclination that Atlanta would be that team?
No, I didn't, actually. I really didn't know. The ball was this is kind of a toss-up up in the air, and I really didn't know where I would be.
It's unbelievable. It's a great story.
It is, and it's a perseverance story. There's a lot of players that are like Drew that kind of hang in there, that know they have the ability. You got to be in the right place at the right time and then have that opportunity present itself and continue to fight through some of the things that go on with to people telling you you're not quite good enough. You got to keep relying on some of that experience that you know that you do have the ability to play at this level. What do you need to do now, Drew? You guys get a win. You kind of right the not right the ship, but you take care of the losing streak. So now you've got a couple positive things. Did some good things on the defensive side of the ball. Those young kids are starting to make some plays over there. Offensively, you showed everybody that, hey, you know, I know Julio and Roddy aren't playing right now. We still got some pretty good players on this team. We can make some plays. So what do you need to do? What do you need to see this week in practice that's going to get you ready for this next game?
I think we just need to continue to build on this. We stopped one losing streak, and now we want to start a winning streak. Just continue to practice like we have been practicing. We don't need to do anything different. We don't need to switch up practice and do this differently and do that differently. Just continue to build confidence in the things that we've been doing last week, the week before that, the week before that. Mm-hmm. And I think we've had pretty good practices. You know, just Sunday's not the same outcome as we want, but as long as we keep up that intensity that we've brought in practice and keep that sharpness, we'll be okay.
Is there a value to the coaches? In college, it seems there's a little bit more rah-rah to the coaches. I mean, if there's something goes wrong or something, there's a little bit more push your thumb on the player, get out. At this level, you guys look for some consistency, if I'm not mistaken. You want to, even though we lost a game, it's not start to we're not bailing water here. Talk about the consistency that Smitty brings to the table for you, even though you had a three-game losing streak.
He just wanted to come to the table the same way. You know, he's told us, you know, we can't – even after a win, he's still the same way. You know, we can't turn the ball over. We can't make mistakes. We can't have penalties. And those are the things that, you know, when you win and when you lose, those are the things you look at. And those are things he looks at on a consistent basis. And we still had penalties this last game. We still had a couple mistakes. But the thing is, we minimize those. And as long as we minimize those, it gives us the best chance to win.
Any difference playing out west? We know what Smitty's process is like. You've been through it now, so you know kind of how this works. It's actually pretty successful when you look at the Falcons' record going west. Is it interesting for you guys to go day early, things like that? How does that work in your week?
I think it's pretty – you know, you get out of here a day earlier, you're in a hotel in a nice bed, and you don't have to worry about some little things around here bothering you. So I have a couple of friends in Arizona who I'll be happy to see who will be coming to this game as well, and a little bit nicer weather too, so that's always good.
Yeah, last time I checked, it's usually Chamber of Commerce stuff out there, isn't it?
Yep.
Well, congratulations on to this move, I mean, and getting your opportunity here, and you've worked extremely hard, and you're a great guy. We've had the good chance to get to know you in the last couple of years. I will say that the whole Oregon-Washington thing last week worked out pretty good for you, didn't it?
It did. Actually, True didn't want to bet at all. He was still still shell shocked from Stanford.
How's the Civil War thing? With Toilolo, I guess, right? Yeah, geez. How's this whole Oregon State thing going to work out now that I know your locker's next to Jackson's? And then you got Quiz, and then James is on the practice squad. I mean, how's that going to work for you?
Quiz was my roommate for 2 years up until we recently moved out. So, you know, I would talk stuff every day pretty much.
Y'all live together? I hope the papers didn't find out about that back in.
A true civil war.
Yeah, that is a true civil war.
But I kind of cut him a break a little bit. You know, Quiz is a nice guy. I don't hold it against him that he went to the wrong Oregon school.
Right.
And I don't hold it against any of those other guys as well. But you know, it's something that'll be fun. You know, they haven't beat us, I think, in the last 4 or 5 years. They have a pretty good team this year, so you know, we'll see what happens.
They got some gear this year too. Now
they do.
They got some weird looking stuff, almost as weird as the stuff y'all wear. Unbelievable. Thanks again.
No problem. Thank you guys for having me.
Drew Davis with us this week on the Mike Smith Show. Thanks to Coach Smith as well. Stay tuned. More Archer and Bell with John Michaels coming up from Flowery Branch right after this.